Hello, Wine World. I have the privilege to interview Guillaume Poutier.
Perfect.
From Le Carme Aubryon. That's in Bordeaux, beautiful area. I had the privilege of visiting Aubryon in the past. I'm sure that's not too far from where you guys are.
It's my neighbor.
That's your neighbor. Okay, so we're here at the Bordeaux tasting in Coral Gables. Beautiful tasting, great wines here. The 2021 Bordeaux's are going to be pretty good. So, Guillaume, just give us a little background on yourself. I know a little bit, but give the audience a little bit, whoever might be listening to this, how you started in this crazy wine game.
So, I'm actually 50 years old, you know, and I work for Le Carme Aubryon since already 12 years, you know. My first vintage is 2011, you know, and it's very interesting, this property, you know, because it's the only property in the center of the city, you know, near, like you say, Aubryon and Mission, on the slope of Aubryon. But the particularity of Le Carme, it's the position, you know, in the city, because in this city, around the vineyard, you have a big, big wall, you know, more than 3 meters. And what is also very interesting, it's the composition of the grape variety in the vineyard. The most proportion in the vineyard, it's Cabernet Franc, right? And for that, it's very unique in Bordeaux.
Okay, we're gonna come back to that
okay.
A little bit. But let's go beyond that, because I know you have some roots that's been in the winemaking,
yeah,
and how you came up and how much you love the Rhone Valley also.
Right. So after the school, the graduate school, after I think 1 or 2 years, I'm going first of all to Bordeaux during 10 years. And after you're going, like you say, to Rhone Valley, especially for a famous name is Chapoutier. Yeah, of course. It's very famous. And I worked for him during 3 years. And it's very interesting because I make the wine in Côte Rôtie, in Hermitage, but also in Cros Hermitage, Cornas, Saint-Péray, Condrieu, everywhere in the Rhone Valley, in the south also, in the Rhone Valley, in Châteauneuf. Mm-hmm. And for me, I learned a lot about the quality of the extraction and also about the balance in the wine between alcohol and acidity. It's very, very interesting for me, for my formation, before to going to Le Carme in 2011.
And as we digress a little bit further back, what gave you the ambition to ever want to be a winemaker?
So, I don't know, I have an ambition to become a winemaker. It just...
great winemaker at that, okay?
it just, you know, for me, what is very important, it's when you make some wine with the team, you know, is to share with my team a lot of different things. But my goal is to put on the bottle some water plus alcohol and some maybe pleasure and emotion. That's all.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the techniques that you might use in making really great wines, because you kind of, a lot of the Bordeaux people might not like some of the things that you do in the style of wine that you're making, because it's not tradition.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Correct. Totally correct.
Okay. And I understand where you're coming from, because you're using some techniques that you probably brought along with you from the Rhone Valley, possibly, correct?
Correct.
How has that made you a better winemaker?
I think I use this technique, this new technique from Bordeaux, not from the Rhone Valley, not from Burgundy, because I think in Bordeaux, it's traditional vinification, you know, very, very traditional. And the wine is very classic.
Yes.
But I think now, for the new generation, you know, you need to make the difference, not about the quality, but about the expression. And in Bordeaux, when you make some wine, the winemaker say, what is very important, it's only the texture and the structure. And for me, it's wrong. I think what is very important also is the aromatic in the wine. So I want to decrease the extraction, the active extraction. I want to increase the aromatic in the wine. It's why the specificity of my technique of vinification, it's a system to increase the aromatic in the wine.
And how do you do that?
So I have two or three methods, but I explain to you very shortly. Normally in Bordeaux, you make a first wine, a second wine, and a part of bulk. But for Les Carmes, all the grapes we pick on the area is going in the wine. No selection. You know, this is the first point, because it's like a family, you know. When you have a family and you have a different children, you not say this kid is better than another one. Right?
Sometimes though.
No, yeah, it's wrong, guy.
Yeah, my mom had a favorite. I mean, there was 11 kids.
You are the favorite, family. I'm sure.
She liked one of my brothers more than the other.
Thank you, your mother. Okay. But just for me, you blended every grapes. And another thing is very important. You co-fermented all the grapes. So Cabernet Franc plus Cabernet Sauvignon plus Merlot directly on the vat. Normally, it's totally separate for each vat. For Carmes, it's different. And the most important, it's normally you destemmer, you know, the grapes before to put the wine in the vat. But for me, when the stem is ripe, brown or red, we keep it. And you put directly on the vat.
That's interesting. What does the stem add to the quality of the wine?
The stem, you know, it's very interesting because when the stem is ripe, it's red or brown, mm-hmm. and increase the saltiness in the wine. Because in the stem, mm-hmm. you have a lot of salt. And for me, it's very interesting to increase the capacity of aging of the Bordeaux wine. And it's also a name of exhauster of the aromatic. You know that?
I did not know that. That's a very interesting concept, because I always wondered, why would you put a stem in the wine? I mean, as far as vinifying the wine, if the stem, to me, if you taste the stem, it would seem kind of really harsh and very stringent in a sense.
When it's unripe stems. But when it's ripe, no problem with that. Okay. So when the stems arrive, if it's brown or red, I keep it. If it's green, this is going to the destemmer. And so at each time you put on the vat different level, mm-hmm. with full berries, full bunches, full berries, full bunches until the top, you know. Mm-hmm. And after, you're beginning the alcoholic fermentation, and you push down the cap, you know, until the bottom, and you keep very close to the bottom, and you make just passive extraction, no active extraction. I don't want to make some sediment. Mm-hmm. And with this system, you increase the purity of the wine and to increase the aromatic of the wine. More definition, you know, and more pixelization of the wine.
Is that one of the reasons why Cab Franc is one of your favorite grape varietals?
Right, also. But be careful with the Cabernet Franc. It's very problematic grape variety. When it's ripe, it's amazing. But when it's unripe, it's very awful. So you need.
How do you control it? Cab Franc.
So first of all, in the vineyard, the density of our vineyard is very high. It's more than 10,000 vines per hectare. Okay. So we need also around 500 to 600 grams per vines, you know, to make the good volume. Yes. So on the grapes, it's only 80 grams. The berries is less than 1 gram, so very concentrate, mm-hmm. and almost the perfect balance. And it's very, very old vines, more than 80 years old.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and the name normally is not Cabernet Franc, for your information. The name is Boucher. It's very old Cabernet Franc.
Boucher meaning bush vine?
Yeah, no, Boucher. Boucher, it's like Cabernet Franc, but when the Cabernet Franc is very old, the name is become Boucher.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
So you learn a lot today.
I'm learning a lot. let's talk about the winery.
Yeah.
In this bottle of wine, we're going to turn around this way so people can see. What intrigued you about going to work for Les Carmes Aubryon?
About
why did you want to work for them?
Why?
Why? You can come on.
Yeah.
I asked him why was this job very attractive to you?
Okay. Alors, I want to work for Les Camps Environnement just because two things. When before to going to Les Camps, I taste a very very old vintages.
Before where?
Before to going to work for Les Camps.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Yes.
I tasted a lot of old vintages.
Mm-hmm.
40s, 50s, 60s.
Oh, of this one.
Of this one. Okay. And the wine is amazing.
Okay. I'm gonna visit you when I go to on premiere, and I'm gonna maybe try something older and see.
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. Okay.
And another thing is very important. It's at this moment, in the 40s.
We're good.
And in 40s, 50s, and 60s,
mm-hmm.
it's the last owner to make the wine. You know, and this owner, it's a woman, and at this moment she don't have some distemper. So you have most of the blend is Cabernet Franc, like today,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of old cluster. Like today.
Yes.
So I just have a reproduction of when I taste 40s and 50s, the quality of this one, it's amazing because it keep freshness, perfect balance, and it keep the DNA from Bordeaux, it's the capacity of aging.
But when you got there, you switched up, you changed the winemaking process
yeah.
a little bit and to improve the wine,
yeah.
right? So how do you think going forward, and how, can you think you can even make it better in the future?
So when it's like when you bet something, you know,
mm-hmm.
you say, this wine in 40s, it's amazing. And I describe the winemaking process. And I say, I want to reproduce the same winemaking process now. And I'm sure now it's very good for this place. And it's very unique for this place. Why? Because in this place, we have high level of alcohol. So with the old cluster, you decrease the level of alcohol around 0.5. And it's very interesting because in the bunch, you have some salt, but also you have some free water, you know.
Free water
to going to the juice during alcoholic fermentation.
And that's what decreases the alcohol a little bit.
Yes. Right, 0.5.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and another thing, we have a lot of acidity because in the soil and especially in the subsoil, we have a lot of clay and limestone.
Mm-hmm.
So when we pick the grapes, the pH is 3.4, so it's very very low,
mm-hmm.
but the acidity is very very high. So when you had some old cluster during alcoholic fermentation, you have some free potassium to go into the juice, and the acidity is a little bit go down. So the balance change, you know, and it's perfect for the wine and for the drinkability.
Very interesting. Have you gotten any negative feedback from other winemakers in Bordeaux about your technique and your style of making wines?
So actually, when we arrived, a lot of, like you say, winemakers say, you are totally crazy, Guillaume.
Yeah,
totally crazy because you put some stems in your.
Yeah.
So you say the wine, like you say, is very hard, very green. But I say now when you taste the wine, you say no, it's not green, it's not hard. So why? And I explain what I mm-hmm. say before. And now a lot of people in Bordeaux try with a little part of old cluster.
Oh, wonderful! Okay, maybe you might be a game changer.
Yeah, and it's good for Bordeaux.
It is good for Bordeaux. I think so too. Let's talk about how did you become the champion winemaker? I'm just curious.
Winemaker of the year.
Yeah.
Well, they also called it champion winemaker too. I thought you answered the question beautifully, by the way, okay?
No, but for me, I'm not make the one for to release the best winemaker. Just for me, it's, you know, it's my passion, it's the winemaking.
Mm-hmm.
And my passion is also to share with my team and to share also with the customer. It's why I'm here today, you know, because normally when you make some wine, you stay in the winery and you stay in the vineyard. But for me, what is also very important, to promote the new generation, the new vision from Bordeaux, outside Bordeaux, and especially in US, because in US you have a lot of people to know very well the wine, you know, and to taste a different country, you know, and this is very interesting. And yes, number one, but maybe the next year I'm number two. But I want to stay number one.
Is what you're doing in your vinification of the wines and coupled with global warming,
yeah,
is this kind of an equalizer to making Bordeaux not become California? You understand?
Yeah. I think for me, the global warming, it's a big problem, but be careful. Actually, since the 70s, you want to increase the maturity of the grapes. We remove the leaves, to decrease the yield, to do a lot of things for to increase the maturity, the ripeness of the fruit. And I think now you need to decrease the ripeness of the fruit. So, for example, in Les Carmes, we keep the leaves all the time. So you never had some sun directly on the grapes. Mm-hmm. You decrease the level of the leaves. And another thing, you increase the number of bunches until on each vines. You know, it's very important with this system. For example, if you read the balance from Les Carmes in 15, in 18, in 17, and in 19, 2020, 2021, in the same level of alcohol, it's only 14.5. For example, in a warm vintage like 18 or 2020, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The level of alcohol in Les Carmes is 13.5, is not 15 or 15.5. Because when the vintage is very warm, we can add more oil cluster in the juice. So you have more free water, you know, going to the juice and the level of alcohol going down.
Interesting. Okay, I'm gonna ask a question that I don't know the answer to at all, but I know that there's certain other places in France where they do hold cluster fermentation.
Yeah.
For instance, and it just left my brain, but it'll come back. It's in the southern part of Burgundy. It's not. It's in the area of. It's hard getting home sometimes. But anyway, what's the wineries? What's the area that's in the southern part of Burgundy? And they have Nouveau every year or whatever. Yeah. In Beaujolais, do they not use whole cluster?
It depends, but sometimes.
But sometimes they do.
Yeah.
But in your wine, but when I get whole cluster out of those grapes that they use there, it almost gives you like a bubble gum or a blue type of flavors, but I don't see that in your wines here.
Because, you know, in Beaujolais, with the whole cluster, mm-hmm. you have maceration carbonic.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But not in this wine, because you begin directly the alcoholic fermentation.
So you don't get the carbonic.
How do you
eliminate the carbonic?
Because when you
audience that's listening, it's just got kind of
technical. No.
But I like this because I need to know this.
Yeah.
Other people need to know this.
I understand. Just carbonic, you know, when you make this system, you know, you had some sulfur and the alcoholic fermentation not begin very quickly, begin after 2 or 3 or 4 years. And at this moment, you make a special aromatic like Beaujolais, like banana, mm-hmm. You know. But
banana.
Yeah,
so yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not in Les Carmes, no. Because we have a special cream of yeast, you know, and you put directly at the beginning of when you fill the vat, you have this cream and the alcoholic fermentation begin after 1 hour. So you not release carbonic maceration.
That's brilliant. I like
yeah.
it. Yeah. Okay. So.
Because for me, this technique mm-hmm. is not good for Bordeaux, because it's not the aromatic from Bordeaux.
You mean the carbonic?
Yeah.
Oh, the carbonic's not good anyway. That's why you drink those wines, you know, within the first year or two. But some of the crus in Beaujolais can last a lot longer, you know. Okay. In the future, what's your how many wines do you guys make, first of all?
So on number of bottle of cases?
No, how many different...
Different wine?
Different wines.
Two wine, you make two signature.
Two signature wines, you make a white wine.
No white wine.
Okay, so you have a first wine and a second wine.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there much of a difference between the two?
It's very different because not about the vision, but about the blend, because this is more proportion of Cabernet Franc.
Yes.
And a little part of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. The other one is only Cabernet Sauvignon with Merlot, you know? So it's very, very different because here we can have some Cabernet Franc because you have some clay and limestone in the soil and the subsoil. But in the other signature, it's outside Bordeaux, you know, between Aubaye and Smith or Lafitte.
Okay.
And in this part, we have only gravels, very, very deeper gravels. It's especially this type of soil for Cabernet Sauvignon, not for Cabernet Franc, not for Merlot. It's why it's the same vision, but two different bottles, you know?
I understand.
For me, it's very interesting to know that I want to make each year a picture, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But each year it's the same picture. This picture is the picture of the place. But sometimes the picture is perfect because I take a picture by the photo and the weather is amazing. Sometimes it's rain. So the picture is not perfect. It's another vintage, maybe a little bit harder, you know? But at the end, it's the same vintage because the picture is the place. It's not the winemaker and the winemaking at the end. The typicity of the wine.
So the weather's gonna dictate each year how good the wine's gonna be, in a sense. Or can you kind of offset the weather and still make great wine?
So for me, you know, when we want to make a very great red wine, because white wine is so different.
Red wine
is different. We need some hydric restriction. So you work a lot for to increase all the time the hydric restriction in the vineyard.
Okay.
So when you have a lot of rain, you put some grass. You increase the level of leaves. You make a different techniques to increase hydric restriction. When you have a lot of warm vintage, so you remove the grass, you decrease the level of leaves, you keep the leaves. So we adapt all the time to make, I hope so.
No, I agree.
The best wine from Le Carme.
I have a friend that's in Burgundy, Anne Perron.
Okay.
She says there's no bad vintages, only bad winemakers.
It's true. And sometimes I'm very bad. I know that.
I've seen your scores from the last 10 years. You don't have anything under 95.
I'm a lucky beginner.
Okay. But anyway. Okay. So we're gonna kind of wrap it up right now. We've been going for like 23 minutes. If you're not drinking wine, what are you drinking?
So about Formica?
No. If you're not having your wine,
okay,
what do you drink?
Oh. For your information, I have more than 10,000 vines in my cellar.
That means wine bottles? We need to go to his cellar.
10,000? In the vineyard?
In my... your place, you take bottles, right?
Vat? Or... No.
No, no. Okay.
What did you say?
No, il me demandait en fait ce que j'ai mis comme vin. Voilà, et c'est in my cellar. I have 10,000 different bottles of wine.
Bottles.
Okay, go on.
Okay. And I love, especially for me, Côte Rôti and Hermitage.
Yeah,
Côte Rôti, it's, for example, Jamais. From Côte Rôti.
They just put a little bit of that Viognier in there. Yeah.
Yes, true. You know that.
Yeah, I know
him
very well. Yeah.
Good job.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I love, so for example, in Côte Rôti, and Hermitage, I love the one from Jean-Louis Chave.
Sure.
Yeah, Chave, it's and the Cuvée Catelin, it's a wow.
Now, you spent some time working on the Chave.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and it taught you a lot about the whole process of...
No, because, you know, Jean-Louis, it's very close, you know. He don't want to give this secret,
okay,
you know.
We'll see.
but it's an amazing guy.
Okay.
And In Burgundy, I love two or three different bottles from for example Colin Moret. It's amazing. Pierre Boisson. It's also a very so you have a lot of you different wine. But I love also the one from in the Loire Valley from Dagenau, for example, like Silex, because it's very pure. I love a lot of different wine from Chenin also. So for me,
what about bubbles?
Bubbles, it's a little bit different because
you know, when I say bubbles, I mean champagne.
Yeah, I know that.
A little different in terms of what?
Yeah. Now, because bubbles, you know, you have for me, you have sometimes in the red, you can add some bubbles, you know. But for champagne,
that's only when it's fermenting you get the bubbles.
Yeah, right.
That happened to me before. I was at Clos de Tarte.
Yeah.
Several years ago. And the guy he never opened a bottle. He went in the barrel with the wine thief.
Okay.
And pulled wine out and put it in a glass. It was still bubbling. It was still going through fermentation.
Okay.
That's not good, though.
No, man. Right.
Okay.
Not for the right. It's true. But for okay. I love.
Do you like champagne?
Yeah, I like champagne. My favorites for me, it's traditional champagne from Roderer. I love the cuvée traditional. Mm-hmm. And also, I can to also like a lot the champagne from producer like Celos. Mm-hmm.
Jack Celos.
Yeah.
I love Jack
Celos. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's getting too expensive.
Yeah.
You have any in your cellar?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to. Yeah, okay. We'll visit that.
Come on, guys. And okay. You have different vintages from Celos. Mm-hmm. And another thing I love, it's from Champagne. It's...
No Krug?
Yeah, but Krug is the best. You know. But I love also Jackson.
Okay.
Jackson?
Jackson.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, very Jackson, it's very traditional, but very fine.
Yeah.
Krug, for me, it's almost the best, you know. But it's, when you say Celos is very expensive, it's Krug also.
Yeah, Olivier will like that you just said I'm going to tag him.
Yeah, but the bottle of Krug, it's very unique.
Yeah, very unique, exactly.
Wow. It's just when you see the bottle, you want to drink the champagne.
Well, Guillaume. Wonderful conversation. Thank you very much. And wonderful Bordeaux tasting here. These guys did a wonderful job. I thought the space and everything at this hotel was really nice. Better than last year, right? Much better. And thank you for the interview. And hopefully I'll come and see you sometime soon doing an en premiere in Bordeaux.
I hope so.
And we can go take a look at that wine cellar of yours.
I'll prepare some bottle of Krug for you and Celos, guys.
All right, Wine World. Thank you very much. Cheers. Check out the podcast, Wine in Black and White. Cheers. Good juice. Thank you, Gil.
Thank you, guys.